This is Radio Bath.
I am joined by the lovely Vera Hobhouse, our local MP. Thank you very, very much, Vera, for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you here in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you very much, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Happy New Year as well.
Happy New Year to you and to everybody who's listening.
Definitely. So how was your, we'll just start nicely, how was your Christmas and New Year? What were your plans? What were you up to?
What was I doing? Well, I have now entered that proud age where I have got grandchildren, and anybody who's out there being a grandparent knows that suddenly you're just becoming so gooey, and everything that was difficult about parenthood has disappeared. All you get is, you know, the lovely young people, that new life that comes up. You have got the patience. You've got the delight without always the stress that you have as a young family. But at the same time, I must say it was also quite stressful. So we had our daughter with her three young children, 4, 2, and 0. And it's hard work.
Absolutely.
And then I think, how did we do that? Because I could finish after 3 or 4 days and they were gone. And I needed about 3 or 4 days to recover. And it gave me back my respect for any young parents out there, and particularly those who are working at the same time.
Absolutely. It is hard work. It's really hard work. But it is lovely. I mean, I went down to Devon and saw some of my family. And it's lovely when you can have lovely baby cuddles and, you know, help soothe babies, but then hand them back. So my sister's got young children. So it's quite nice to have it without exactly as you said, the pressure of it being full-time job, because it absolutely is. And what about New Year? How was your New Year?
So because we used to live in the northwest of England, so my husband still has got a company in Rochdale and has got a very small terrace house, which for me is now my holiday home. So I go there completely off everything and spend some time in my old community. And it's quite interesting how it changes and hasn't changed, and visit some old friends that we have that we had when we lived there. And we went into Manchester for the fireworks. It was a modest affair, I would say, but it was still a public firework. So it was fun to be out there amongst people. Freezing cold, but otherwise good.
Very cold. Well, I'm really pleased to hear that you got to have a little bit of downtime, because you're a very busy lady.
Well, I had made a particular point to spend as much time in Bath running up into Christmas. And we had such a wonderful time with all the local events that were happening here. I'm a member of the Bath Abbey, so I was quite a lot at the Abbey anyway. But I tried to make sure that I sort of go as much as possible to other communities, other churches, and to see how they do their Christmas. There was a lovely family Christmas up at St. Greg's with the Emmanuel Church. Mm. Lots of young families. Again, you know, that reconnecting with what it was like when you have kids running around while at the same time something else is sort of trying to happen. So I love that. I love to go to the carol concerts. And here in Bath, we are doing Christmas and the Christmas season so incredibly well.
It is. It's lovely. And there's, as you said, there's so much fantastic things going on and just so much that you can get involved in. It's quite hard to pick quite a lot of the time.
Well, particularly the community events. And everybody will just about remember COVID, when we were also locked down, and we were all locked down in Bath for 2 Christmases. And yes, is it not nice to be together and celebrate together, having fun together? And sometimes and there are lots of people, obviously, who don't always have an easy time of it. Mm. It's still better to be amongst some people who can put an arm around you than being on your own in your room. So I think Bath does that well.
Definitely, absolutely. I'm fortunate enough to, I'm a trustee for Connect Bath. So we put on the Christmas meal at Kingswood School, which is, again, all about connection, bringing people together who would otherwise be on their own. So I think we cooked over 400 meals this year for people that were there, volunteers and home cooked meals. So it's a fantastic thing to do. And exactly as you said, it's all about community and just making sure people feel a part of something and connected to where they live and who's around them. So it's a fabulous thing to do. Now, I was looking, I was at a talk that you did a couple of years ago. I just mentioned it to you a moment ago when you were talking for International Women's Day, because, I mean, you've had an incredible, like, a career and life and just general, like all of the things that you've been up to. It's amazing. But I remember you saying that you studied history and fine arts, which I was very interested in as a creative and artist myself. But I was just wondering how that led you to politics, because it seems like a world away, but maybe there's an overlap that I'm missing.
Well, we've just been talking about people and how important it is to be connected. Mm. And I suspect I was always interested in politics at the same time. Mm. So I did my fine arts degree. And in many ways, as an artist, you have yourself and the work that you create. And yet, even then, I always thought art only exists in the room with others. Mm. It has to be seen. And so thinking around, why am I not still an artist as much as I, to some extent, would have liked to, is I couldn't really make it work financially. Mm. And I couldn't, all that networking, all that getting out there, making sure that your art is seen and also bought, is a very hard bit that a lot of the time people don't recognize. Of course, you need to have the creative inspiration. You need to have that space to you, and when it is just between you and the canvas, for example. But then you also have to have the bravery to then go out with your baby and say, here it is. It has to be seen and consumed. And even art exists in the community and in the connection with other humans. I suspect that's always the other part of me. I love people. Mm. I like to communicate. I like to think what others think. I like discussions and debate. And so that was always part of my life anyway.
Absolutely. It is really hard work. Absolutely. There's one thing creating, and it's an entirely different ball game when you're having to actually put that art out there and sell it, as you say. I'm not very good at that part. I'm not a businesswoman.
But you have to be. And in fact, if one thinks bigger about, you know, we need more creatives. We want people to be creative. Increasingly, we understand that life is not just about sciences and math as much as that is important. A very big part of us being human is to be creative. Mm. And those who are professionally creatives, we need to support them. And I think they haven't had an easy time in the last decade or so. So to support creatives, be that in Bath or nationally, is also then something that I do again as a member of parliament. Having come from that background, it is quite useful to have a few politicians who recognise the importance of creatives.
Oh, absolutely. I quite agree. And I think that's going to lead us very nicely onto our conversation that we're going to pick up just after a couple of tunes, talking about leading on our plans and aspirations and hopes for Bath and beyond from 2026 going forward. So just hold on to that creativity and we'll fill you in after a few tunes.
Across Bath and Northeast Somerset, this is Radio Bath.
Now I'm still joined by the lovely Vera Hobhouse, our MP. We've been having a fantastic chat. I feel like we could talk all day about all of these fantastic things that we're so passionate about. But right now we're going to touch on what are your plans and aspirations for Bath and beyond going forward for 2026?
Well, I think we sort of start here the second part of the discussion where we ended it, really, around creatives. And having come from a creative background, and although I'm now no longer a professional artist, I want to very much bring what creativity and creatives and creative professionals bring to our community, make that a political issue, particularly because, you know, funding for music education, arts education, anybody who is being in these wonderful professions or in that area of life that is about creativity, be that dancing or singing or writing or making music or, you know, producing all of this, they have had it so very difficult, and I think we are cutting half of our humanity away from us. We had politics that was too much focused on academic learning, on math and science, as much as all of those are important foundations for later jobs. It cannot be the only thing. So raising awareness again about the importance of creativity for our human well-being is one of the things that I want to raise in Parliament, but connected very much to Bath. And in Bath, We are very lucky to have a lot of opportunities. There are lots of choirs, and we've got the Mission and the Rondo Theatre, apart from the Theatre Royal, where people can put on performances and shows. Lots of them amateur dramatics. Those are the things that need support. They need a bit of financial support, mm-hmm. not very much. And they're amazing people who are working day in, day out to make that happen. But they need a little bit more public support, public funding support. And I think that is overall something that I want to focus on.
Absolutely. And I wholeheartedly agree there. Like, the creativity is so good for us as like for our communities, for our well-being, to kind of find our spark again and our joy in things that are going on. And it's so important because we've all got different brain types, as we've touched on in our off-air conversation. We all work differently, and that is to be celebrated, and we all bring something different to the table, and that is exactly why creativity is just as important as our academic sides of things. So it's absolutely. And we are very lucky in Bath. We've got some great theatres and performances that go on. We had a really big year last year as well with some big acts coming to Bath, notably like Robbie Williams came to the Crescent, which was a huge talking point, and there were so many things going on. So it's I'm really pleased to hear that that's something that is important to you as well.
Absolutely. And because I also for a short period of time I was teaching languages in secondary schools, I know the school life very well. Mm-hmm. And as much as we focus on academic learning, and we know that academic careers sort of depend on academic qualifications, and there's a degree of discipline that young people have to learn, it can't be the only thing. Mm. And we are starving schools of their real life and fun if we don't make time in the curriculum for the creative subjects. And that is a long-term political problem, I think, mm-hmm. and the curriculum has become more and more crowded. But we mustn't lose sight of a lot of neurodiverse learners mm-hmm. who find it very difficult to just sort of learn on the old, you know, on some sort of perceived ways of how you have to learn. And we are leaving so many young people behind. We need to focus very, very clearly on those who have a different way of learning. We call them neurodiverse. That sort of covers a lot of different ways mm-hmm. of learning. But I think that too is something that I'm passionate about and I want to sort of drive forward.
Absolutely. As I mentioned off air, it's something I'm extremely passionate about as well, because I deliver the neurodiversity training in workplaces and charities, and I'm a qualified ADHD, neurodiversity and autism coach and neurodivergent myself. So it's something that I think is... It's really heartbreaking that we've got young people in schools that are feeling like they're failing because their brains don't quite fit in and mold to the curriculum that we're doing. But it's really important that we try and advocate for those children and our students going forward.
And again, those who break through, they're often the most creative people, and they're very, very sort of star examples, like Jamie Oliver, who yep. speaks now very openly about his dyslexia, which nearly ruined him. You mm. know, and he you could still see him slightly shudder when he thinks back of his school life, where he was humiliated. What are we doing to wonderful individuals and people, taking them to something that ultimately ends up being torture? School mm. should be fun. At the same time, I'm not blaming teachers. It's hard.
No,
I was
it's
there.
Very
it's
tricky.
Just the teacher training that you receive is not often focused enough on diverse learners. We ultimately we need a better teacher to pupil ratio in schools. Mm. But again, that's a funding issue. But where would we be if we don't focus on the next generation of people who have to run the country and become
absolutely.
Functioning adults?
They are the future. So okay. we need to do it right. Oh, absolutely. I mean, again, I could go off on a tangent on this one, but I'm not going to. I'm gonna keep it under wraps. I think I'll play a couple more tunes, but I have got one more question I'd love to ask you. So please do stay with me if you're able to. After a few adverts and a couple of tunes, we've got a little bit more from our lovely Vera Hobhouse.
This is Radio Bath.
And that was Mark Owen with Rio. I've still got the lovely Vera Hobhouse, local MP, here with me. We've got one more little segment before we wrap up for the end of my show today. So I just wanted to ask you, you've had a very extensive career and you've done some amazing jobs and things in the past, it seems like, and had a wonderful pathway. How has it felt to be a woman in politics? And do you feel like that's changed over the years, or... I'd just love to hear your thoughts.
So I started off, as quite a lot of people who end up in Westminster Parliament, I started off as a local politician. So I did local politics, not here in Bath, but where we lived up in the Northwest, as I already mentioned. And that is a good training ground because you are even more tied in with your local community. Interesting in this country, sort of local politics and local politicians don't have the same profile as your national politicians. In other countries, like where I come from Germany, your local politicians are much better known than the national politicians. And again, it's something that touches on the human bit of people. They actually want to see what you do more directly. And parliament and legislation is quite a remote thing, whereas in your local community, you can deliver something and be that only a pedestrian crossing or be that a litter bin that has been needed in a park for such a long time.
Yeah.
So that connection is actually very, very good. And it that's where I came from. And I will never forget that route. But it can be quite brutal to be a woman in parliament. But then it can be brutal for any parliamentarian. And yeah. I don't want to go on and on and on about how much discrimination we face. We have faced a millennia of discrimination. Mm. We women still have to be pioneers out there. And if we want to do that, then I think sometimes we can't be too sort of moany about it and get through it. Social media is a terrible place, but I think it's for everybody. I don't even listen to all the nasty or look at all the nasty comments online. Half of them are bots anyway.
Yeah.
I worry about if a constituent comes into my surgery and tells me about her story, or that they feel that I haven't done this, that, or the other. Mm-hmm. Social media is not something that makes me not sleep at night.
That's good news. I mean, in fact, I did mention it earlier that we have to sometimes take social media with a pinch of salt, because, you know, often it's either not real people or people put on their highlights, don't they? It's not their real life. So I think we were talking about New Year's resolutions and things previously before you joined me. And I was just trying to remind people not to compare themselves to people's highlight reels online, because it's not the reality often. And there's so much more going on, and everyone's got something going on in life. But actually, I think just showing up, trying our best and being kinder to ourselves and to others is the best way to move forward, in my opinion.
Indeed. And would you say something like that you say on social media to somebody in the room? Mm. Usually you don't. And I find most people I meet are very polite and understanding, even if they've not necessarily of my political persuasion, or if they think that I have not done something well. We are all humans, and politicians make mistakes too. Sometimes we are not allowed to admit that. We always have to we can never say we made a U-turn. Mm. Although, of course, sometimes, you know, life moves on and you change your mind. Absolutely. And you do something differently. Yes, and you are never, ever 100% every day, all day, every minute. Mm. And people have to give everybody that little bit of freedom to be human.
Absolutely, because, yeah, exactly that. At the end of the day, we're all human beings. We all make mistakes sometimes. But actually, if we continue to grow and learn, then that's the best way that we can all move forward. Now, I was talking a little bit earlier about New Year's resolutions. Do you make New Year's resolutions, or do you just try and live by day by day?
Well, like everybody, probably you have made many New Year's resolutions that you haven't kept to, so you'll be taking yourself with a pinch of salt.
Yep.
I always think at my age I should do more exercise and keep fitter, and then I think, how would I fit that into my life? And we talk about priorities. I think anything that you make a priority can become a priority. Mm. So it's not an excuse to say, oh, I didn't have time to write to my friends, or I didn't have time to exercise. You can make time for anything that is really a priority. And then I sometimes wonder whether these New Year's resolutions are only half priorities. And I think, oh, I should do that, but really. So, yeah, I make the odd one, but I don't write them down because I know most of the time I don't stick to them anyway.
I mean, absolutely. I don't make them for myself because I don't stick to them ever. So I'm just going to move forward to 2026 with more kindness for myself and to others, and just to make time for rest, because actually I think we're all very busy people and we need to make more time to slow down as well and just appreciate what we've got.
Sleeping becoming a very important thing that people are focusing on. We need to have that also breaks in your life.
Yeah.
For creatives, they know that very well. You need a creative break in order to reboot yourself and your creativity. So I think most of the time, if we say be kind to others, also be a little bit kind to yourself.
Definitely. And on that note, I'm going to say thank you very much for coming and joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure. I have loved our conversation and I could have chatted to you for the rest of the day.
Me too. Thank you.
And yeah, again, Happy New Year. And I look forward to seeing what goes on in Bath for this year and beyond.